Thanks, team in the back, for helping us see. We'll work on our spelling a little bit there, and it'll all be good. So, yeah, well, it wasn't too bad. There's a couple words there that we'll fix up, but that's my water that I just put down there. You are in trouble if you take that from me. I just want to ask you, I want to start off by asking you a question this morning. How do you know when you're doing or have done something wrong? Oh, by the way, this is an interactive question, so you can talk out. You don't need to raise your hand or anything like that. How do you know when you're doing or you have done something wrong? Somebody's okay. Conscience? Okay. How do you know if you're breaking the law? Somebody still yells at you. Okay. All right. So there's a lot of yelling going on in this corner. You find a sign that's contrary to what you're reading on your speedometer. Okay, all right. We're getting closer. All right. So here it is. You know you're breaking the law because there is a law. Okay? You know you're breaking the law because there is a law. If there were no laws, you wouldn't know that you were doing anything wrong. In fact, it wouldn't be wrong, would it, if there were no laws? No police officer will ever pull you over to tell you you're doing right. Never. Because the law is really designed to condemn, not to commend. You'll never get pulled over for doing a good job. You will always get pulled over if you're not doing it, if you're breaking the law. Well, with that little thought, just to ponder there, today as we continue in our series Made New, I want to consider with you the Bible's reference to something called a new way of living. A new way of living. We've been through a number of new things in the Bible that we've been doing over the summer, this July and August. And today in the Made New series, I want to talk about a new way of living. And we're going to land today in the New Testament book of Romans in chapter 7. Let me say that before this. If you have a phone or a mobile device and you want to follow along, you can go to YouVersion Events. Internet and password are actually in the bulletin there. If you have one, it's right there. You can just hop online and go to events. You'll find Pioneer Park Church there, and you can follow along in the notes if you want to save that to look at through the week. We also have a reading plan posted at the bottom there for the week about living in freedom in Christ. And so if you want to save that event, you can do that as well. Again, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Others just glazed over for a minute there. But today we're going to land in the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 7, and I want to read verses 1 to 6 together with you. Actually, I'll read it, and you can watch or listen or follow along in your Bible or on your device. Now, dear brothers and sisters, you who are familiar with the law, just been talking about that, don't you know that the law applies only while a person is living? For example, when a woman marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is alive. But if he dies, the laws of marriage no longer apply to her. So while her husband is alive, she would be committing adultery if she married another man. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law and does not commit adultery when she remarries. So, here's the point. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. And now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. When we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us, and the law aroused these evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds resulting in death. But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law or trying, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. I don't know if you're ready for this morning. I don't know if I'm ready for this morning, but we're going to wade through this, and hopefully by the end we'll have a complete thought here and something good out of this. And believe me, this morning I'm completely aware of the timing and sensitivity of the written word of God among us today. But it's nonetheless God's word, and there's a message we need to hear today. And so God, just give us ears to hear. Without God's law that we find in the Bible, we would not know what sin was. You see, the problem is, and I'm going to get to explaining this a little more, the problem is the law reveals sin. You see, one of the problems with the law and trying to keep it, as the Bible talks about, is that it reveals sin, but it doesn't give us any power in our lives over sin. In fact, we just read the law, how can this be, arouses sinful passions within us. Romans chapter 7, verse 5. We just read that verse. When we were controlled by our old nature, before we came to Christ, before we gave our lives to Him, when we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us. And the law aroused these evil desires that then produced, a harvest of sinful deeds. Well, that's sort of flowery language, but it produced a whole bunch of stuff that wasn't good, that resulted in us being spiritually separated from God. And Sheila, to expand on your little example there, let me give you an example we might be able to relate to, you know, in regard to the law sort of tempting us to break it. Driving down the road in a 40-kilometer speed zone, right? I mean, we have to go 41 or more. If you're in a 60-kilometer speed zone, you know, like, right, I'm hearing 70. Do I hear 75? 60, 65. I'm getting there. If we're in a 100-kilometer-an-hour zone out on the highway, you got to do 105 or 110. 100, you know, I'm just trying to keep it Christian here. So 105 or 110, you know. And if you have no understanding of what I'm referring to here, you are in a very small category of speed limit keepers, okay? And that may be because you're new to driving or something like that, or maybe you're just really awesome. But the speed limit does not give us any power to keep it. In fact, the speed limit arouses in us a passion to break it. I'm not wrong. All of that to kind of help set up a little bit here. Romans chapter 7 is actually one of the most challenging chapters in Scripture. The Apostle Paul is talking about sin in this chapter, yes, but his focus is on explaining the place of God's law in the plan of salvation. Now, let me say this. When the law is mentioned in the Bible, it's referring back to the days of the Old Testament, okay? There are hundreds of commands given to the Israelites, but most scholars agree that the phrase, the law, refers specifically to those found in the first five books of the Bible. The first five books. That body of the law was given the name, it was called something, they gave it a name, they called it the Torah, or if you pronounce it the Torah, you could do that. But the Torah, they were the laws of God's covenant community, of God's covenant people. It was God's written law because sin had entered the world. And in the verses we're looking at today, Paul uses the term law or commandment or written code in some translations. He uses those words in each of the first 14 verses of this chapter that we're looking at. We've just read 1 to 6, but in the first 14 verses, and in that chapter, he uses that phrase about 30 times in the whole chapter. So I think it's important just to look at in regard to a new way of living. But just as we begin to look at Paul's use of the word law in Romans 7 that we just read, we should notice how he used the word a few times in the previous chapters. You see, Paul explained in chapter 3, he explained that God's law reveals sin. It shows that we're sinful and that we can't keep that law. In chapter 3, again, it shows that the whole world is guilty before God. Paul explained that God's law defines sin as breaking the law. Paul said that God's law brings judgment, brings punishment. And according to Paul, the purpose of the law was to show our utter inability to obey it in order to gain favor with God. The law was actually showed our utter inability to obey it to gain favor with God. But, praise God, by His amazing grace, God has counted Jesus' obedience to the law, because Jesus was without sin, right? Jesus was perfect. And so God, through His grace, has counted Jesus' obedience to the law to our credit. That means that Christ followers, here's a word, Christ followers are justified. That means that when we come to Jesus, we are made right in God's sight. We are justified. We're made right in God's sight by faith alone, in Jesus alone, and through God's grace alone. And so Paul says, we're not under the law, but we are under God's grace. Chapter 6, verse 14, sin is no longer your master. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Now, some people misunderstand what Paul's teaching here when he says that we're not under the law, but under God's grace. Paul is not saying here in this chapter that the law has no place in the life of a Christian. Instead, he's simply teaching that in regard to, remember that word, justified? He's teaching that in regard to justification, in regard to our right standing before God, the Christian is not saved by obedience to the law, but we are saved by God's grace alone through faith in Jesus. It is by grace, the Bible says, that we have been saved. Ephesians 2, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. There is absolutely nothing that we can do to earn eternal life. It is the gift of God, not by works of us, so nobody can boast. And so in regard to a right standing before God, we are not under the law, but we are under God's grace. And today we're looking at what the apostle explains in Romans 7, 1-6 as to how we're released from that law in order to serve God, to live in a new way, he says, through the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. He does this in these verses by giving us a principle and an illustration and an application and an affirmation. And just very briefly this morning, I want to look at that through that lens. There's the principle in chapter 7, verse 1. Paul begins chapter 7 by asking a rhetorical question. Don't you know that the law applies only while a person is living? Duh, right? Paul's using a self-evident truth as the foundation of his argument. He's talking to people who are familiar with the law. It should be obvious, he was saying, that any law, whether Roman or Greek or even God-given biblical law, is binding on a person only as long as a person lives. And that's the principle. The law is binding on a person only as long as they live. If a person's convicted of a crime, they're no longer subject to prosecution and punishment, no matter how many or how terrible the crimes may have been when they die. And so if a person dies, the law no longer has any claim on them. That's the principle the Apostle Paul is trying to explain. The law is binding on a person only as long as they live. And then he uses an illustration from marriage. In chapter 2 and 3, Paul says, for example, when a woman marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is living. But if he is no longer living, the laws of marriage no longer apply. I don't know if I struggled so much with a part of a message as I did with this part and trying to say, yeah, but God, but you know, and so I read something that relieved my mind, and it was this. Paul's analogy is rather confusing. If you try to make it more, say more than he intends. And so in chapter 7, verses 2 to 3, the woman's husband is no longer living, so she is free from the laws that govern marriage. But the application Paul goes on to make, he's likening our death through Jesus to the wife's release from the law, not the husband's death. Clearly, Paul doesn't intend this to be a real tight illustration here, where one thing exactly represents another. Rather, he's making the main point that by being identified with Jesus in his death and resurrection, the Bible says we are, when we come to Christ, when we invite him into our lives, when we have the Holy Spirit in us, we're identified with Christ in his death and resurrection, which the Bible talks about. And so we died to the law. And if we died, then the law no longer holds us hostage, because we are in Christ, part of his death and resurrection. And so these references to death and freedom from the law already really hint at the application Paul's about to make. He says in verses 4 and 5, "So, my dear brothers and sisters," and Paul turns from human laws to the law of God. And just as a spouse is released from the law of marriage, Paul says that we've also been released from the bondage of the law, or we died to the law, because of our death represented in Jesus. That's how closely connected we are to Jesus when we come to him. And so he says we died to the law, and the bondage that we have to the law because of our death represented in Jesus. And when we come to him and receive him, the Bible says we become like him in his death. In fact, Romans chapter 6 says, "Since we have been," and these are great verses that help us, "since we have been united with him in his death," because we came to him, we accepted him, "we also will be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin." He goes on and he says, "And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin, but now that he lives for the glory of God. So you should consider yourselves, you should also consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus." Don't let sin control the way you live. Man, if you hear nothing else today, hear this. Don't let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. It really is amazing stuff, and it's a little bit mind-numbing as well. Now, the purpose Paul says of our being joined to Jesus, what is that purpose that Paul says? That we may bear fruit for God. Not just to hang out, not just to do nothing, but to bear fruit for God. And we read in chapter 7, verse 4, "So my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God." The New Living Translation says that we can produce, in order that we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. It's kind of part of what we were created for. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, we read this, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Jesus." Why? So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. In other words, a person who becomes a Christian isn't just made new, but they will also be involved in good things, in good deeds, in bearing fruit for God. And that godly fruit, if you will, that godly result is produced in the context of our attitudes and our actions. I mean, our attitudes should reflect what's called, have you ever heard the fruit of the Spirit? It talks about that in Galatians. It says the fruit of the Spirit, that is the Spirit that lives inside of each Christian, each one who's a part of Christ, is things like are things like love and joy and peace, putting up with others, and kindness and goodness, and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. What it says. Against such things like this, there is no law. Wow. As far as godly actions are concerned, man, the New Testament is our guidebook. The New Testament is a guidebook on what it looks like in all of our relationships and situations and whatever we do. It says we should do it as if we're doing it for Jesus. Well, the other thing then Paul does in verse 6 is there's an affirmation. Paul says, but now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God not in the old way of trying to obey the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. I just want to notice something here. Paul's already tried in his writing to be clear that when he talks about freedom from the law, and you know, when sin came into the world and God introduced his written law, he already knew there would be nobody to keep it. He already knew that Jesus was going to be the answer. Now to us, we look at it way back here and we go, well man, it wasn't until way down here that Jesus became the answer. But you know what? As we heard this week at camp, and as Jim was speaking, God exists outside the continuum of time. This is where we live. We live on this scale, on this timeline. God is like beyond all that. And so it's not to him like he made it back here and then like, wow, it wasn't way till here that Jesus. For God, it's like an eternal now. And so God made the law knowing we couldn't keep the law and be perfect, because that's what we would have to do to earn our salvation because of sin that had come into the world. And he knew he was already had the answer, and it was going to be in Jesus, the perfect one that would be able to, he would be the only one that could fulfill that law. And we would be joined to him as we accept him and receive him. We would be joined to him, and all that he did would then be credited to our account. It's hard to fathom. And so Paul says, we're not under that law, we're under God's grace. But listen to what he says about sin and the law. He says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? He says, of course not. Later on, he says, well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? He says, of course not. And then one more time, he says, well then, if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. He says, in fact, only when we have faith in Jesus do we truly fulfill that law. That's because only in Jesus can we actually fulfill that or make it come true in us because of what he did and what he did and does. Freedom from the law does not bring freedom to sin. Paul's point is not simply that a person who is in Jesus is able to do what is right, but that they will do what is right. That's how we serve and live in the new way of the Spirit. See, the law couldn't save us from sin. It actually aroused sinful passions within us. Through a relationship with Jesus, we've died to sin, and we've been released from the bondage to that law to serve God in the new way, which is through his Holy Spirit. Because of Jesus, we can have new life. We can be free from condemnation. We can be free from the pressure of the law. We can have a home in heaven. But folks, the only way we can have that is through Jesus. You see, Jesus is the way. He is the truth, and he's the life, and nobody can come to God except through Jesus. His words, not mine. And that means we need to come to him. We need to admit that we're sinners, that we've sinned, and we need to ask him to forgive us our sins. And then we invite him into our hearts, into our lives, to help us live in this new way through the Holy Spirit. If you happen to be here today and you cannot say that you've done that, I invite you to do that. May I invite you to do that today on August 19th, 2018? May I encourage you to invite him in and begin living in that new way that he intends for us to live. It is so important. It's life-changing. It's eternity-changing. It's important. Just want to leave you with a couple questions this morning then. Oh, you probably have all kinds of questions, but let me leave you with a couple. Are you by any chance trying to relate to God on a performance basis? Am I trying to relate to God in a performance basis? God, I go to church on Sunday, you know, and I'm not doing this and not doing that. You know, things are looking pretty good. I think I get some points. Are you trying to relate to God on a performance basis? Because it's not going to work. We need Jesus. That's how we relate to God. And then my second question is, have you received Jesus in your life? And that's one for you to answer. Have you accepted Christ into your life? I hope you have. If you haven't, you can do that right where you're sitting this morning. You can do that when you go home, but you can do that before you leave here just by in prayer and in talking to him quietly, just admitting, God, I admit I'm a sinner. I confess that I've sinned and I ask you to forgive me. Please forgive me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Give me your spirit so that I can live in that new way. Not keep trying to impress you because I can't do it. It just tires me out. But Father, I pray that we would come into relationship with you through your son, Jesus. And then let me encourage you to identify something this week that you've been doing. Here's something maybe we'd think about this week. Maybe we could identify something this week that you've been trying to do to be good enough for God. Maybe that's not for you. But what is something maybe you've been trying to do to be good enough for God? Let me encourage you to recommit that to him. Recommit that to him. And if it's something you can keep doing free from performance, well, just do it. Just do it. Let's pray. God, your word is amazing and it's wonderful, and sometimes it's really simple and sometimes it's really complicated, and sometimes it's easy for us to understand and sometimes it's hard for us to understand. But Lord, may we just understand this morning that to have a relationship with you, to be in a right standing before you, there is nothing that we can do. There is no law that we can keep that's written in your word. There is nothing of ourselves that we can merit favor before you. But you sent your son Jesus, a perfect person, a perfect sacrifice, it says, who was able to keep the law, who died and rose again. And when we come to Christ, when we come to Jesus, we get all that credited to us. We're set free from the bondage of performance. Lord, how we need to be set free from the bondage of performance. And Father, that we would know your grace and your mercy in our lives as we walk with you through your Son, Jesus. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.